Welcome to Suck Off.
Welcome to Suck Off.
Season 4.
Episode 1, The Munsters.
The Munsters. I was like, they can't be serious here. But it's The Munsters.
And they said it twice in the episode.
Yeah.
And everyone went crazy.
Everyone was like, they said it. It starts off in a location we have not been in this show, which is Los Angeles.
Woohoo!
We're in LA with the siblings, and they're pitching The 100. The lamest shit. I'm so glad they abandoned it so fast, because
I wanted to see what
you wanted to see. The 100,
of course.
How does he pitch it? He's like, it's the New Yorker meets the whatever,
meets the like any like not this, but he's like, it's like the New Yorker meets PepsiCo meets Monsanto meets the, you know, it's like, yeah. What are you saying?
Right,
like, do you have any employees? Do you have an office? What what do you have
exactly? And they got T there, whoever that, they're like, is he like a financial advisor?
Telus appears to be some sort of financial advisor to the three Roy children.
Absolutely, yeah. And they're not like crazy about this idea. It's like,
they're all sort of doing it because they need to. And Kendall has worked really hard to get a bunch of investors in the company, as has Shiv, as has Roman.
Yep.
It seems like Kendall's done most of the legwork, though. Like, this is something that he's done before.
He's been talking to people. It's established. I think it's been like 3 months since the wedding.
Since last episode?
Yeah. Which is, I was thinking about the biggest gap of time in between seasons we've had yet. Usually it's been like.
Exactly.
But in Iverson years, 40, 70, who even knows how this kid is aging?
I'm 60 in Iverson years.
Meanwhile, back in New York. Logan is having a depressing birthday party.
Yeah.
None of his kids are there, besides Connor, obviously. Connor's there.
Which he doesn't give a shit that Connor's there.
I mean, I don't even think Connor gives a shit about his own dad's birthday. Even though that's up for debate, because I think Connor does love his dad.
Yeah, I think he does.
He super loves him, his super dad.
He tries reaching out all the time and like getting a connection with Logan.
Right.
And it's just never working.
Logan seems depressed.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that. It's like one of my favorite things about this episode, because it's like, it seems like the most human he has ever been. He is like aware that his like kids aren't at his own birthday party. I think he kind of misses them, but he can't admit it.
He's alienated his only like person that he has conversations with, Marcia.
Right, right.
So he now has to talk to some fucking 30-year-old.
Dude, oh my God, what does she say? She's like, Marcia's in Europe shopping forever.
Yeah.
Like, the funniest way to say she's out.
So real.
She's gone. That bums me out that Marcia, I mean, I'm sure she'll come back, hopefully.
Carrie might as well turn to the camera.
Right.
To be like, your mother's not coming home, everybody.
Mother. Marcia's mother.
Marcia is so mother.
Yeah. And Greg's there. He brought his date. Something, whatever the fuck. That's like the joke, is that they don't even know her last name.
Which it really would have been beneficial to know her last name.
Yeah, it would have been nice. Carrie is like, get her out of here. Like, she can't be trusted. Like, that she could jeopardize this whole, everything we have going on.
I don't know the actress who plays Carrie, and I will definitely learn her name before the season ends.
We're going to get to know her.
But her acting is on point, because I am so deeply irritated by this woman.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I understand, like, she's also someone who's so interesting and entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
entertaining in, like, a negative way, which I love, to be clear. Like, she's, like, all head hen of the house and, putting on the birthday party and talking
bangs.
To this person. Yeah.
Yeah.
I live for, like, an overconfident 30-year-old.
She's great. I think she is going to have a downfall.
Oh, yeah.
She's not sticking around, that's for sure.
No.
And that's going to be
horrible and a big loss for, like, feminism. And I mean that, because it's already very not feminist that she's in this position to start with. And it's going to be just horrible and awful.
She's had, like, these power trips that we haven't really talked about, where it's like she'll butt in and be like, fuck him. And it's like, who asked you?
Do you have, like, a master's even?
Right. Where'd you come from?
You have a liberal arts degree, Carrie.
Yeah.
You're an executive assistant. Like, you don't need, like, an MBA for that.
Right.
I'll tell you that much.
So I hope, you know.
I'm not devaluing her work either.
Exactly.
Let's be clear. Like, she works hard, but, like, now, again, she's fucking the boss. So
she's
got this insane power trip, which I love for her.
Tom is at a restaurant alone getting the check. He's Shiv calls him, or he calls her. I forget who does the calling, but
we were both so fucking drunk watching this episode.
Yeah, bear with us here. It's gonna get better the further into the season we go. Let's just say that we'll be able to rewatch the episodes. We're doing this really tight right now, so. But he is at.
I think we're doing a great job, though.
I hope we're doing okay. It's hard. I will also say this is the first time we've had to do an episode where I didn't know what was coming next. So that made the podcast easier. And this is going to be difficult because the show is so good at throwing the most unexpected shit at you.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're kind of blindly talking about this.
I think, though, we've picked up on a lot of good details based on like the predictions that we made in the season 3 episode 9 thing. I think you and I.
I'm looking very closely at this show for shit.
And I think we have different expertise in what we like look for and notice and then like repeat on the podcast that then comes back. So
I think this is a very interesting start for Tom. A very interesting place to put his character after what happened last season is like picking up the tab alone. Mm-hmm. It's just fun. it's fun. He's apparently, I don't know if he's really banging Naomi Pierce. It's like, he says it's not sexually, it's just a social thing, but they're like talking.
But Naomi Pierce looks at her dykiest, so who's to say? Come on.
Someone had to say it.
She looked so hot.
She looks amazing. She really does.
Team Naomi Pierce through and through.
Yeah. Truly. Honestly, she may have won this episode. But it's
honestly? Yeah. Yeah.
The Pierces as a whole won this episode, but we'll get into that. Basically, Shiv is like, what are you doing?
Like, why are you calling to tell me? And he's like, I'm telling you because it's not a thing.
Yeah.
But I'm just informing you. And she's like, are you asking or informing? Like,
yeah.
What is this?
Yeah, sorry. I'm like watching it as we do this. But anyway, he gets off the phone.
It's clearly very tense between the two of them.
Right. Is it there? So you said it's not there when the kids decide to pursue Pierce.
Right.
I think it is around there though, right?
No, it's not that conversation.
Okay, okay.
Shiv like walks away and comes back really frustrated and they're like, what's going on, girly? And then she says, Tom's banging Naomi Pierce. Mm-hmm. I think then that's why Kendall receives the information he does later in the episode, because then he has like a team of people looking at the Pierces and like trying to find stuff on Naomi and Tom.
Right.
But then Kendall comes back. I'm sorry, I'm going to be like a little bit out of order here.
No, you're good. You're good.
Greg brings Bab Pierce, is her last name, to Logan's birthday. She's like this young social media girl who's like taking selfies and posting where she is.
Right.
And so then Kendall receives that information and is like, I think Dad is in talks to acquire Pierce. Because he mentioned that in season 3, episode 8.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think all the kids just know.
Right, right.
That, like, this is probably a thing. And especially if a Pierce is at the birthday, if a Pierce is talking to Tom.
Yeah.
Like, I think it just all, like, is clues that then, like, come together. And they're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
They're actually going to do it.
Now, catch me up on this. Do you think, where's Rhea in all this? Is she still with Pierce? No, she's
Rhea
gone.
Was fully fired, is finding another job.
Yeah.
Like, she's girl boss.
So she's probably
else.
Not coming back.
No,
okay, never mind. I thought for a second when we were watching the episode, again, I was a little drunk. Right. I was like, wait, what happened to Rhea? Would she be a part of this?
You were 3 tequila sodas in, poured by Christian McCann, and, like, what, 2 tequila shots?
I was having a good time.
I was having a blast.
Connor is at the birthday party with Willa, who we've talked about is even blonder. I'm looking at her right now in the episode, and she looks like a full-on, like...
Like Republican news
anchor. A Republican woman, yeah. It's kind of insane what she's turned into. But Khan is talking about, like, he's polling at 1%, but he's worried that it's going to get squeezed in these last weeks, and that would be a big deal. I love it because it's like they really talk it out why any of this matters. Mm-hmm. And he's like, because if you're in the 1%, you're in the conversation.
He's Amy Klobucharing it.
Shout out to Amy Klobuchar. Minnesota. Like, she's a hometown hero to us. Her and Al Franken. Both great. Anyway, yeah. So he wants to be in the conversation.
To do so, he has to spend an extra $100 million.
Yes.
Which he talks about like it's a fucking quarter.
Right. And he's been talking about it like that since season 2 when he was like, just a nice $100 million, Dad. Mm-hmm. Just $100 million. It's like, who? Well, it's like, would you still be, you know, rich? And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Because Willa is like, I'm really only here because you are rich and this is the life I've chosen for myself.
Exactly.
And the terms and conditions will change if that is no longer true.
Yeah. And I think, I don't know if it's here when they start talking about wedding stuff, but we might as well just talk about Connors.
Yeah, might as well.
He wants to, when they're talking about the wedding.
This is later, but yeah, we might as well.
We might as well.
He's talking about the wedding. He wants it to be like lavish and a spectacle to keep him in the conversation and save some of that 100 mil. Yes,
right. Thank God.
And she's like, you know, call me old fashioned, but I've always wanted a wedding that's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which then reveals that, like, yeah, not that she necessarily likes Connor, but like, yeah, there is some personal thing that she gets out of this.
Yeah.
If nothing else, a nice wedding.
Right. And doesn't he pitch the Statue of Liberty?
Yeah.
Getting married below it, which I hope we get to see.
Oh, I'm hoping it's like disgusting. I hope it's like Kendall's birthday party level disgusting.
People were saying, they're like, that is going to be the best episode of the show. Yeah. Is Connor's wedding. Like, holy fuck.
Because remember how he was at the Recme Ball with the fucking butter? Right.
Like, oh my God.
He's a man who does events, apparently.
He's an event guy.
This is going to be the event. He should be like an event planner. That should be his job.
That's his real calling.
Yeah.
Dude, there's the scene where Tom goes to Logan to address divorcing Shiv. And he says it in the most drawn out, painful way possible.
Yes.
And basically he's only doing this to be like, if this were to happen, because it's kind of likely, would we still be good? Mm-hmm. And Logan, with the most like open-ended, if we're good, we're good. It's like the perfect Logan line.
Yes.
It's not really a yes. It's not a no. It's just if we're good, we're good.
It's honestly like he doesn't like Shiv, right? Right now, mm-hmm. Shiv is not in Logan's good graces.
Yeah.
So that doesn't matter.
Right.
It means that if you cross me personally, then we will, of course, not be good anymore.
Exactly.
If you getting divorced to Shiv will cross me in some way, then, of course, we're going to have some beef.
Right.
So it's just like, yeah, if we're good, we're good is such a, like, it could mean 7,000 different things.
Exactly.
Yummy.
But divorce is on the table right now.
Oh,
it's been mentioned for the first time.
It gets like revealed more and more throughout the episode. Like,
yeah, yeah.
At first, it's a trial separation. That's what they're trying out as an experiment.
Yep.
And then it's like, ooh, I think we might like bust up. I think it's how Logan phrases it. And then, I'm sorry to skip ahead, but by the very end, Shiv's like, we're getting a divorce.
Yeah. We'll talk about that. That's, yeah, of course. That's kind of the cherry on top of it all.
Right. But like, it's fun to watch. It was really fun. Like,
it was so fun with the audience.
Gasping.
Yeah.
Like, he said they're separated. They gasped. Shiv said we're getting a divorce. It was like audible. Oh, it was so good.
Greg is, they're getting laid he's like talking about doing it. At the party. I mean, we might as well talk about Greg's whole thing right now.
Greg approaches Tom in the most homoerotic way possible.
Yeah.
And people, like, laughed, cheered, screamed.
I mean, rightfully so. It's one of the craziest interactions of the show between these two.
Yeah. Like, Greg comes up, like, right behind Tom and, like, doesn't hump him, but, like, full body, like, grabs him from the back. To be like, hey, dude, what's up? They call each other the Disgusting Brothers now, which...
My favorite shit. It's so... That is so funny to me.
I'm thinking of Roman talking to Mencken in a homoerotic way, talking about two dudes having some disgusting fun.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, listen, I know this is pie in the sky, but I'm thinking, like, two dudes having disgusting fun, calling each other Disgusting Brothers. There could be something there. And Shiv says something in the episode of, like, oh, are you and Greg, like, taking turns fucking?
Or
some sort of thing where she, like... Not that she thinks Tom and Greg are fucking, but like it's some sort of like sexual pairing that involves both Tom and Greg.
Right.
So it's just like, they're giving us the morsels.
They're giving it. Yeah. Disgusting Brothers. It's my favorite shit. Logan ditches the party. He's like, he takes Colin. He's like, Colin, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
And they go to a diner, which is amazing that a diner has come back. That, you know, we've had two diner scenes already and this is the third. And it's like... It's a really good scene. It's a really amazing scene. I don't have the specific... I'm sure we'll, like, reference it later in this, and I'll, like, have the lines ready, but...
Oh, well, I remember what they're talking about.
You remember. So you can be drunk and still get the lines. It's unfair.
So...
He's talking about, what is all this? Like, what are these people? Or what are people?
What are people?
Yeah. Which is such a great line after an entire show of him being like, I know people. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it's kind of a man at the end of his life in a changing world being like, so what are people?
And he's developed a cynical worldview because his answer to the question, what are people, is people are a collection. And that collection is a market. So you have a market for environmentalists. I don't think that's what he says, but, you know, something like that.
Yeah.
Money is a market. Politics is a market.
Right.
Environmentalism is a market. And so Colin is just baffled and confused by this conversation because they've maybe spoken three sentences to each
Colin
other.
Colin doesn't know how to talk.
Right. Clearly. And his face is so, I apologize to this actor, but his face is so like threatening at all times because his eyes are always just like so focused and intense.
I'm so glad we get to get know Colin a bit more.
He has one line that reveals some of his personal life, which is, my father was very religious. So I think.
And Logan interrupts him. Yeah.
We get like a hint of an insight into Colin. It's like, well, that's enough.
Because Logan's like, what is all, like, what's after all this? Mm-hmm. What's at the end of it?
The market in the sky.
Yeah. So yeah, it's just a very, I feel like, reflective and vulnerable conversation for Logan to be like worried and out of the know.
And clearly he's not having conversations like this with Carrie because Carrie will just be like, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so your next best thing right now is your bodyguard, Colin.
Yeah. Well, like, it's because, yeah, he has no family.
Not
you know?
Your son that still loves you, I guess. You know, it's just, like, sad.
Yeah. Well, it's like he's not going to show his weakness. He can't show his weakness to anyone but the guy that can't disclose any information. Like, this is, like, the ultimate guy to show any of his weakness to.
Yeah.
What does Colin know that we don't is what I'm saying. There's so much we don't know.
Colin's mind is a treasure trove. I want to take a dive.
They're trying to call their dad, the siblings. They're on the phone with Carrie, who are like, get his cock out of your mouth or something like that.
Oh my God. Yeah. The siblings are approaching a plane.
Yeah.
And Roman is like, I'm sorry, I can't hear you. And then Shiv says something. And then Carrie's like, oh, what did Shiv say? And Roman's like, oh, my sister just wants you to know that you can take our dad's dick out of your mouth and then we'll hear you better.
Yep.
That line got such an amazing response live.
It's amazing. They're basically just, like, trying to, what, get in contact with their dad?
Now, this is Drunk Christian. I can't remember why they're trying to contact him. Like,
I mean,
fuck if I know.
The meat of this episode is a bidding war of them trying to, who's going to buy Pierce first, basically. Because on one side, it's Logan and them, and the other side, it's the siblings, and no one knows who's pitching what. And they're just kind of going for the highest number. And
it's an arms race. It's a Cold War.
Yeah.
The siblings, it makes sense for them to acquire Pierce because they have, like, these skills. This is how they describe it. Like, these skills to run a company like this.
Yes.
Each one has their different strength, but they don't have an actual company. So it'd be great to have something to, like, just sort of swallow up and kickstart.
Right.
Versus having to build it from scratch, build an audience, build a following, whatever, from scratch. So that's sort of their pitch. It would cost their entire, each of them, 5% stake in the company. So they basically will be broke when this is done.
Right.
But that's like their thing. Logan's thing, which, I mean, this has been talked about since season two, is like, it makes sense to like beef up or fuck off, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we either have to be too big to buy or we need to cash out.
Right. Well, from what I understand is like this isn't that necessary for Logan, this deal? I want to reference, there's a great Hunter Harris. She does Succession character rankings. She has on her like hung up thing. It's like a newsletter. And she was talking about this deal and she referred it to it as like gravy, not protein.
Yeah.
Because it's not, I feel like it's not entirely necessary.
It makes like, if the, like when the Madsen deal closes in 48 hours, if they have something that makes them more valuable within the next 24.
Right.
Like, I mean, that just means more money. You
exactly.
Know? Spend money to make money.
And that's the thing is like the siblings are dropping an atrocious amount of cash.
It's astonishing.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Disgusting brothers.
Literally the disgusting brothers.
It just feels like a power move and not a smart move, which is like,
I think the move itself, if they had more capital, is smart. Like, it makes sense what they're doing.
Yeah,
like,
for them. Because they keep saying it's not for Logan. This is unrelated to Logan. This is for us. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, then, like, that solid idea. And Roman is, like, criticizing it the whole time. He's like, are you guys sure you don't want to just, like, start from scratch and not, and, like, use other people's investor money for this?
Yeah.
And they're like, no, like, this makes more sense. And, like, we're basically, you know, it's like the bike is already built.
Yeah.
And then we could just ride it.
So do you agree with them or Roman here?
I kind of agree with Roman.
Me too.
Like, only because of the number they get up to, you know?
Yeah.
If only they knew that Logan was only willing to spend $6 billion on it.
Right.
And they didn't start at $8 billion.
Right.
And then escalate to $10 billion.
Yeah.
Which is, oh God, even T. Trellis is like, that's a stretch, but we'll make it work.
Yeah.
Like, Yeah, I agree with Roman.
It would have been a smarter move.
Yeah, to just do your own thing.
Yeah.
You still have your inheritance. You know, like, yep. What is it? You really think you're going to recoup your investment?
Yeah.
Especially with a failing media company like Pierce?
Right.
They said they were losing money the past 8 quarters.
Exactly.
And that was in season 2.
It was a bad move.
Yeah.
Yeah, meanwhile, in the room with Logan, they're kind of, like, figuring out the number, or, like, waiting for it, at least. Mm-hmm. And because he's around so many yes men, it's like he's around anybody that's, like, here to work for him. It's the room is dry, as he put it.
And Tom has sort of joined the ranks of Jerry, Carl, and Frank.
Yeah.
Like, he's just one of them now. Like,
yeah.
He looks older, too, and, like, mm-hmm. they put him in one of those just nothing suits.
Right. So because of this, he, like, tries to get a roast going. He's like, roast
Logan.
Me.
Logan does.
Yeah, Logan. Yeah. which he's like, he wants people to be funny. Mm-hmm. It's just such, like, it's like Logan's been watching the show Succession. Like, it's like, he knows that, like, we need, like, some, like, spice in this room because, like, all the kids are gone and there's, like, not, when you lose Roman, it's like, what do you got, you know?
Right, nothing's popping.
And he's like, Carl, be funny. And Carl's like, oh, well, I don't know. Frank is like, the thing about Logan is, and
he runs pretty hot.
Yeah. And then he's like, Greggy. To which Greg is like, you're a mean old man.
Logan's like, all right, okay, come on, keep it going.
And he's like, Jerry, anyone send you anything funny recently?
Jerry's like, I'm staying out of this.
So, like, then, the best callback to the dick pic.
And then Greg goes, okay, man, where are your kids, huh? Where's your wife, huh? And then, wait, I'm sorry. We have to rewind for Logan's insult to make sense. Because Greg has fucked Bab Pierce in Logan's study.
Right.
Tom says to him, hey, man, Logan has CCTVs hooked up to every room, and he watches it with a bottle of scotch every night. So
you just accidentally made him a sex tape.
Yeah. So he's like, you got to tell him, man. So then, like, I think it's like, yeah, Carl has found out that the kids are also making a bid on Pierce, and Greg has this information, and they both need to talk to Logan at the same time. And Greg's like, I'm sorry, sir. We need to talk privately. So then they do. And mind you, this is getting, like, scream laughter in the room when we're watching it.
Can't even hear the lines most of the time.
Right. Like, those subtitles were doing work. So then Greg says it to Logan. Has a conversation with Tom that's like, yeah, I told Logan that, like, maybe she's on some wacky tobacco and blah, blah, blah. And Tom's like, how far did you get? And he's like, I put my hand down her pants and she put her hand down my pants.
Mind you, their lips are, like, a centimeter away when they're sharing these stories. Like, they're basically doing dirty talk to each other, describing it.
Right.
That's kind of what the vibe is, at least.
Very that.
Even though he's describing another person, it's like, it's like, go on. Yeah.
Right. So he's talking about fingering Bab Pierce. So then, circling back to the roast, Greg's like, where's your wife? Where's your kids? And then Logan's like, he's like, where's your old man? Is he still sucking cock at the county fair? Why don't we smell your finger, Greg?
Oh my God.
So, Greg's dad being gay, canon homosexual interaction, season 4.
There it is.
It's in Greg's family.
Oh my God, that's what you were referring to.
Yes. It's canon homosexuality.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
That counts.
Yeah.
So anyway, that moistens up the room a bit, is what Logan wanted. But they go, so the siblings talk, they're like, we'll go $10 billion.
This was awful to watch. Everyone's assholes clenched.
Well, it's like, it's such a, it's another one of those, like, classic Shiv coming in with the smirk on her face moment where it's like, she pushes back the doors and she's like, I'm gonna go say it. And then she says it and you're just like, God damn it.
Yeah.
It's like such a, you think you're killing it moment and it, you know, this isn't gonna end well.
She's a girl failure. But
she's a girl failure.
She thinks she's girl bossing.
So they pitch that. And they say that, like, they turned down Logan's offer. They're like, there's another bidder. And
Cherry Jones
interested.
Is back and better than ever.
She's amazing.
I love her.
She's a doll. I don't know about doll. I don't know how to describe her.
Yeah,
she's
the matriarch,
like,
of a major media conglomerate. What a cute little doll. I'm sorry.
She just looks like a sweet woman. On anybody on the show, she looks the sweetest.
I disagree. I think she looks very, like,
evil.
No, not evil. I mean, Cherry Jones, very sweet, very normal.
Yeah,
woman.
Yeah, yeah.
But she's just like, she has such, like, a soft power about her. That's
yeah,
what
yeah,
I
yeah.
Enjoy.
Yeah. God, oh my, I need to remember. Maybe I'll cite it next episode. But there's an HBO, at the season premiere on the red carpet, she was on the
Cherry Jones?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. She was there, and they asked the actors to, like, say, like, their best insult. And I forget what hers was, but it had something to do with and it was, like,
slay.
Insane. It was, like, a crazy
You'll
insult.
You'll say cunt, but you won't say pussy?
I'm going to bleep it out. I'm going to bleep it out in the recording. I never said it. I never said it.
I capitalized the C in cunt. Thank you very much.
I knew it was coming up, and I was like, I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it. So yeah, they give Logan this news, and I love it how he's like fucking geniuses. 10.
right.
And they're just like, that's kind of it. And he calls them and he's like, congratulations on saying the biggest fucking number.
And the siblings take this as a W.
Yeah. Shiv has this like look that's like, oh, yeah, it's really.
And Kendall's like, we should get some champagne. And yeah, they get in this car, and it's just like unbelievably bone chilling to watch.
It's bad.
Watch them like piss away their entire stock in Waystar.
Right, right. That
like, you know, is of course owed to them, you know, like legally mm-hmm. they are entitled to the money, but then they just like piss away. Oh, God.
It is insane.
This is going to be bad.
It's going to be so bad. And you think that's when it ends, but then there's one more scene.
Yeah.
Shiv comes home.
Oh.
Mondale is barking. Tom is in his boxers. in Shiv's a white
like,
tee.
Shiv is like, you look ripped. And this is really not like a negative comment on Matthew McFadden's body, but he just looks normal.
He looks normal.
He doesn't
Literally,
look ripped.
She said that and everyone in our crowd was like, he looks fine. He looks normal. He's like, yeah, Mondale's barking. And he's like, I guess he forgot your scent. Oh, my God. And yeah, they have the talk.
Yeah, well, they have the talk about not having the talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because Tom's like, can we rehash sort of what happened in, it's called Chianti Shire.
Right.
Chianti Shire.
Yeah. Someone DM'd me and was like, that's how it is.
People have been commenting and DMing all day.
Yeah.
You can't ever pronounce something wrong on a podcast. I thought there's something in, you know, Chattel slavery, which I thought it was Chattel, which I never heard the end of from my podcast. Shiv is running around pointlessly grabbing new things. It's unclear to me, like, why. Did she really need that wardrobe?
Yeah, like, she was like, I do know a wardrobe pickup or something like mm-hmm. that.
And Tom is like, listen, we should talk about what happened in, like, at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Shiv's like, we have nothing to talk about. We don't need to talk about it. And then they, like, go on the bed and, God, it's just unbelievably good acting. Like,
good blocking. Like, great yes. cinematography. Everything about the scene is, like, so great.
Where they finally just, like, resign to the fact that, yes, they're going to get a divorce.
Yeah.
This experiment is, this trial separation is successful. No more of this. And, like, the couple times that she's facing away from him and, like, all of her emotions are showing on her face and she's yep. melting and then, like, has to correct her voice to sound
right.
normal.
Trying not to cry the yeah. whole time.
That's the worst when you're going to cry and you have to bottle it
you
up.
To,
and then,
yeah.
Oh, God.
Well, she's the one that asks him. She's the one that, like, I think we should move on from this.
Yeah.
And he kind of has this look of, like, I mean, he knew this was coming. He had the conversation with Logan earlier. But I don't think that – what's interesting is that – I don't think that conversation gave him any, like, security or comfort. Mm. And then him kind of feeling like he fumbled it with the whole Pierce thing. Yeah. I think there's a certain level of certain uncertainty with yeah. Tom in this that I don't know. He might be a little scared. Mm. Not that, like, because the thing is, what I love about this scene is that it seems like all the business stuff doesn't matter for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even think that deal is on anyone's head here. It's like, you just forget that this is a relationship. And yeah, it, I was telling people, I'm like, this whole time I've been like, please get divorced. But now I'm like, you can work it out. Stay together. Cause it's like, it's the holding the hands in bed and the, we had a good run line and them laying in bed together. It's just like, it seems like two people that I don't even think wanted this to happen, but just because of the family they're in, like, this was inevitable.
Yeah.
And that's what I like about the we had a good run. It kind of like implies that this was going to end. We all knew it would, and like we've just reached that point.
Yeah.
And that's what I think sucks about it's just so sad. It's a really sad scene.
Like that profound tenderness you have with your ex, because it's like you have just severed the relationship. Like, no one ever, how do I say this in such a way? When you have, like, a sibling, you can be estranged or whatever, but, like, they don't unbecome your sibling in the matter of moments.
Right.
It's hard for that to happen. Like,
right.
some, you know, special circumstances, whatever. But you can unbecome, you know, husband and wife in a second by just saying it.
Right.
By just making it so. Like, that's how
yep.
romantic relationships work. And so it's just, like, so weird that you've gone from literally married to not married in the span of a conversation. But yeah. you still have all of this, like, chemistry and human connection and whatever. So you can't just unsever that tie in your brain and in yeah. your body. So that's, like, I don't know. That's yeah. where that dissonance comes in, I think. And it's just unbelievable to watch.
Someone needs to do the math and go back and see how long this marriage actually took happened. Like, how long it's act? Because it's 3 months plus, like, however long all of season 3 took.
Yeah.
Season 2.
I think it's like a year and a half.
It's not long.
I'm pretty sure that's how long
it's
it
not long.
It's 72 days. We tried, besties.
We tried. We had a good run.
We had a good run.
It caught me off guard, this scene, because it just doesn't seem like you get these, like, tender, honest, emotional moments in the show.
Yeah.
It's like this and then, like, the Shiv and Kendall hugging scene in season 2. It's like, these just feel like such rare moments. And the fact that we got this episode 1.
Yeah.
I am not emotionally prepared for this season at all.
It banged. It went so crazy. And I will never, ever forget Sarah Snook's face during yeah. like, that scene. Just, like, her facing away from Tom and, like, holding yeah. it in. It was unbelievable acting.
I've had some people ask me this, and I want your take. Do you think that because this happens so early on that they'll get back together in the season?
I think there'll definitely be, like,
they'll interact, for sure.
Racked?
Interact.
Oh, I thought you said, like, they'll get racked. And I was like, did I just hear a new euphemism for fucking?
No.
Because my brain was on, they'll definitely fuck.
That's kind of what I was walking away with, too. I was like, there's something there.
Right.
They probably slept over that night and fucked that night.
I could totally see that.
I, like, could see it happening.
I can see canon sexual interaction, but I don't see them getting back together right. and working it out. Like, they've gone too far
yeah.
to come back. And
yeah.
Tom is genuinely happy, it seems, to date other people. Like, it doesn't seem like he's very fulfilled in his business life, but his personal life, it seems like it could be worse.
Yeah.
You know, he's fulfilled, like Shiv being, says, he's banging models.
Yeah. A disgusting brother.
He's a disgusting brother, and he's got yeah. Greg. Things could be worse.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I just realized the thing about the disgusting brother is, actually, this is, like, not even worth bringing up.
I kind of want to hear it,
though. Well, I was just like, they formed a sibling thing without being in the family, you know?
Yeah.
The brothers.
Yeah.
Those are the brothers.
Like, quite literally, yes, found family, queer-coded. Mm-hmm.
Queer-coded. Oh, my God. Yeah, we are just, like, cracking open the Shiv and Tom divorce. I'm sure there's going to be much more to this. Oh, yeah. I'm just glad it, like, they cracked it episode 1. It did not take long.
Right, because at some point it would get to beating a dead horse territory. Like, yeah. how much more can they betray each other? How
exactly.
much worse can they hurt?
Right.
Especially after that just iconic moment last episode.
Yeah.
Like, where do you go from there?
Yeah.
So I'm glad it happened episode 1.
Who, well, actually, no, I was about to say who lost, but there's one more scene, and it's Logan sitting watching TV. He's watching the ATM, and he calls Sid.
That's right.
And he's like, this guy looks like a fucking ball sack with a toupee.
Yeah, because the story they're covering is like it was a shooting at a picnic or something, or
yeah.
stabbing at a picnic, but everyone was fine, or
yeah.
some shit like that. And
yeah.
like, it could be news, it could not be news.
Right.
I think it says more, like, local news than
yeah.
national ATN news.
And he's just, like, he's calling Sid, who, more Sid, good to see Sid.
I love some
We've
Sid
We've missed
Peach.
Sid. But he's, like, angry about it. He's like, people watch this at night. I watch it at night.
Seems like he's drunk, too.
Yeah. And I just realized I love that. I mean, I hope I got the line right, but him being like, people watch it at night, I'm watch, like, he's like, mm-hmm. I'm a person.
Mm.
And I think it's like, I think this whole scene.
Whoa.
Right.
Like, he's trying to reconnect and find his humanity. Because the take of people are just markets is incredibly cynical,
yeah.
very dehumanizing, not at all a way to live your
yeah.
life. It's like
eating his own food.
It's like it's an incel black pill worldview, you know?
Yep.
Where, like, you've just gone so far beyond seeing, like, women as people that,
yep.
like, you're willing to do horrible, awful things.
Right.
I think he's lost that, and he has done horrible, awful things. And
yeah.
now that he's at the end of his life, he's sort of reckoning with those horrible things he's done to his children and
right.
people that love him.
Is Tom still in charge of ATN, by the way? Is he, like, does he play a role in it?
I think so. I don't know what his job title is, but at least last episode, he was
okay.
still, like, Shiv called him to be like,
right.
ATN needs to run this. Again, don't know his title this episode, though.
Okay.
Because he's sort of hanging out with the Jerry, Tom, and Carl, which
yeah,
seems
yeah.
like he's on a different footing. But
right.
I don't know.
Maybe he sends him back to ATN,
right.
Logan.
But Sid also is in charge, because Sid has always been Tom's
yeah.
boss at ATN. So
right. it's just a, it's an interesting way. It kind of adds on to the diner scene of like, Logan is kind of trying to become a person again. Mm-hmm. And it's like one of those, like you were saying, they paint him in this light where it's like, that's a dad watching TV at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Doesn't look like the big guy for once.
Yeah.
And I think it's sad when it's like, doesn't have his kids. And this is like, he's just alone watching his own show and it sucks.
Yeah.
So who won, who lost? Season 4, episode 1.
The Pierces won.
Pierces won. Easily.
And contained to this episode, because again, we don't know where this is going.
Yeah.
This is for the first time. Like,
yeah, we really don't
we
know.
We actually don't. Like, I guess contained within the episode, the children have think they've won, and they say they have enough money to make this
you
happen.
You know they didn't win.
Yeah, I know for a fact.
Like, the moment they, before they pitched it, you're like, oh, they're not in a good spot. They're desperate. Like, that's a desperate thing to do.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, I don't know if I would say they kind of lost. I would say Roman is still in the loser
spot. In the loser chair?
Yeah, because it's like, he, of all the siblings, Kendall, we didn't talk about how neutral Kendall is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Romy!
Yeah. He's like, Kendall's just surfing on his own wave right now.
If anything, Kendall's kind of on the up because, like, at least he has two siblings that are his ally.
Yeah.
Before, he had no job, no friends, no siblings, no girlfriend. But now he at least has siblings.
It seems like, I know this isn't the fact because we have a whole 9 episodes to go through, but it really seems like we're in post-arc Kendall. Like, there isn't, like, a ton more to do with this character.
Or, like, I think the thing that we're watching as part of the closing of the arc, it's sort of like the second half of BoJack Horseman season 6, where like you see him sober and like actually trying to live his life post like actual rock bottom.
Yep.
And so he doesn't have a rock bottom. Well, yes, he does. Sorry. That's a complete lie because he relapses. But, you know, it's not the same kind of rock bottom as he had throughout the rest of the show.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of like the necessary piece that we're seeing with Kendall is like the post, like maybe he's cleaner, maybe he's, you know, making amends or whatever.
Yeah.
So I think that's like the unnecessary part. Oh, Crazy Ex-Girlfriend season 4. Same thing. this happens in TV shows.
This is TV.
Yeah. It's like kind of a newer trend, I think, in like long bingeable TV is like seeing a character go through the worst of it and that's not where their story ends.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
So watching him build a relationship with Roman and Shiv is the next necessary piece of the arc.
Nice. Well, that does it for this episode. Lots to look forward to. That's about it. Anything to plug?
I mean, I'm between seasons of Busted Business Bureau. Oh, I have a dueling piano show at the Lincoln Lodge. So if you came to the live show and you liked it, like I have a different live show there that's, you know, once a month.
I have to go. I still haven't gone to one.
Go next month.
I promise.
Okay.
I'm trying. I'm going to
take you
up. I'm trying.
Hey, it's okay.
April 2nd, I have a DJ set online through Beloved Radio.
Yay!
I'm actually really proud of this mix, so
I can't wait to listen.
Tune in. That's about it. Thank you for listening, and as always, suck off.